ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Also, and ಅನುಗ್ರಹ ಪ್ರಾರ್ಥಿ ತುಳಸಿಗಂಗಾ ಅಶ್ವಿನಿಕುಮಾರ ನೋಡಿ ಬಗಲಂತ ಹಾಗೆ ಪಾಂಡವರ್ಸ್ ಬಾಂಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವಾಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಲೈಫ್ ಒನ್ ಡೇ ಹವರ್ ಪಾಂಡವರ್ಸ್ ಅಕಾಡ್ ಟು ಮಾದ್ರಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಎಂಜಾಯ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅಟ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಸ್ಪಾಟ್ ಇನ್ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಎಸ್ ಇಂಡಿಯಾ ಚೆಸ್ಟ್ ಪೈನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಡೈಡ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಸ್ಪಾಟ್ ಸೊ ವಿ ಸೀ ದಟ್ ದ ರಿಯಾಕ್ಷನ್ ಸಮ್ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಸಮ್ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಕರ್ಮ ರಿಸಲ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಯಾನಾಟ್ ಕಮ್ ಇಮಿಡಿಯೇಟ್ಲಿ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಕಮ್ ಸೆವೆರಲ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಲೇಟರ್ ಲೈಕ್ ವಿ ಹಿಯರ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ಆಫ್ ಧೃತರಾಷ್ಟ್ರ ಧೃತರಾಷ್ಟ್ರ ಐ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸೇ ದ ಮೆನಿ ಲೈಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಅಗೋ ಹಿ ಕಿಲ್ಡ್ ಸಮ್ ಎ ಬಂಚ್ ಆಫ್ ಬರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಟ್ರೀ ಐ ಥಿಂಕ್ ಹಿ ಬರ್ನ್ಡ್ ದಮ್ ಬೈ ಮಿಸ್ಟೇಕ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹಿ ಕೇಮ್ ಟು ನೋ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಕಮಿಟೆಡ್ ಅ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಸಿಂಪಲ್ ಆಕ್ಟ್ ಸೊ ಇನ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸ್ ಬಟ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಒನ್ ಸನ್ ಇಟ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಸೆವೆರಲ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪುಣ್ಯ ಟು ಗೆಟ್ ಒನ್ ಸನ್ ಸೊ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ವೆರಿ ಮೆನಿ ಲೈಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪುಣ್ಯ ಟು ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ಲಿ ಗೆಟ್ ಒನ್ ಸನ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಗಾಟ್ ಹೌ ಮೆನಿ ಸನ್ಸ್ ಹಂಡ್ರೆಡ್ ಸನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ ದಟ್ ಸೊ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಲೈಫ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ಬಿಗೇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಹಂಡ್ರೆಡ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ವೆನ್ ದ ಪುಣ್ಯ ವಾಸ್ ರೈಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಯು ಗಾಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಹಂಡ್ರೆಡ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಬಟ್ ದೆನ್ ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಯರ್ ಕರ್ಸ್ ಯು ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ದೆಮ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಬ್ಯಾಟ್ಲ್ ಫೀಲ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಕುರುಕ್ಷೇತ್ರ So we can practically see in the Shastra so many examples of people taking the results of the reactions of the karma. They get the results gradually, either now or in the same life or in later life. But we cannot escape. Every one of them will suffer. Even the tiniest of the karma that you perform, you have to undergo the reaction. Just like you are walking now from here to there. Or like it's a black ant, small ant on the path. So you put your leg on the ant. And when you press the hand with your legs, you may not even know that you are pressing. Do you know every time you walk? Don't even realize that you are pressing on it. So the hand's body is squeezed. Although you may not die, at least his body is completely squeezed. So it's a severe pain. And the next lifetime, you may be walking like that casually and you may get hit in a table or a chart. Sometimes you get hit in the book. Then you get a severe pain. So in both the cases, the severe pain is experienced. In one case, the hand experiences the pain. And in another case, you experience the pain. And the resultant reaction. So you see, even the small pain that you incur has to have a resultant reaction. So we cannot escape. And it is said for severe actions like killing of a cow, or killing of a brahmana, brahmahatya, the reactions are very severe. So in this way, the reactions eventually are coming in our life in different varieties of forms. Sometimes somebody comes and scolds you, chastises you. You don't know why. How does your experience that you have been misunderstood by others? Raise your hand. Some of you have never misunderstood in your life, but you really get so. You all have become misunderstood by so many people, isn't it? You never want such a misunderstanding. Sometimes even with one of your most dear friends, you are misunderstood. And you try to give explanation and your friend is not able to hear. You say, get lost, I don't want you. I don't want to hear from you. It could happen to anybody. This is not because of past life karma. So either it can come as a mental conflict, or it can come as a form of disease in our body, and sometimes we get stomachache, headache, cancer, tuberculosis, ulcers, so many kinds of diseases we get in our body. They all keep coming from transfer. Or it can be appearing in the form of your children. If you said Anga, you know, Anga was such a great king, very great devotee of the Lord. But he got a son named Vena. Who was such a rogue. In fact, Veda was the source of trouble for all the Brahmanas. He created such a havoc in the country. Brahmin country could not be sustained because of the presence of Veda. So Anga was wondering, why did I get such a son? It was because of his past mistakes that he got a son like that. Anyway, Anga used it as an opportunity to become more Krishna conscious. He said, after all, I have gotten a son so bad as Veda that he just denounced everything of the world and let me take one of his son. He gives it as an advantage. But then, in the same day, if somebody has performed a lot of bad karma in the past, you may get children who are not obedient, who have become a source of headache for you. So, and it is a lifelong headache. So in this way, the karma, results of the karma come in varieties of forms in our life. So as soon as you perform a sinful deed, immediately it is stored in your heart as a sinful seed. And that sinful seed is stored for a long period of time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There are thousands of sinful seeds are stored in our heart, and it is like a stock of sinful seeds. So thousands of sinful desires. But when you perform an act, immediately your vritti is thrown out. Vritti means the propensity to commit that act again. Any sinful act, you do it once, immediately the vritti is created in your heart. That means you again want to perform the same act. So it is all stored in our heart like that, as pile of sinful sins. And you see, what happens to a seed? Probably it germinates and starts sprouting, and it becomes a plant, and then becomes a tree, and then gives flowers, and then fruits. In the same way, there are several stages of this growth of our sinful reactions, beginning from bija, beginning from akuta, then from padamukha. There are several stages of the sinful reaction. So from bija, it grows, and it is called as not yet certified. In the bija stage, it is not yet certified. And when it comes as kuta, it is almost certified. And then it becomes padamukha, it's already certified. That means, how does the fructification take place? When something takes the bija already suffered. And sometimes, I always used to realize, when I get ulcer, when the ulcer comes in the mouth, such a severe pain. That is actually a stage of fructification. When the top karma, the result of it is coming in your life. And you want to get rid of it. The doctor will give you a tablet. A lot of times you take, you think if you take ulcer, it'll blow away. People try it from all directions to help you out. And you take all things. But then the ulcer stays with you for 1 week or 2 weeks and gives you whatever due pain that you have to suffer, and then it blows away after that. This is the meaning of karma, sorry. If it has to come, it will come to you. You can't escape it. By any means, what can we do with all our power? When you have machine guns, can you shoot your ulcer with a machine gun? What can you do? What can you cut your tongue? You cannot do anything. Sometimes people get something in the hand or the leg. It is so painful they feel it, they cut off the hand. But can you do that? You cannot. You have to suffer. This is how the sinful is gradually fortified. And after the ulcer or after the wound goes away, it is called already fortified. That means the suffering is over. So that amount of painful suffering is already finished. So here, in this shloka it is said, that the stock of sinful seeds that you have stored in so many lifetimes, if the same seeds are fried, if you fry a seed, what happens to the seed? Do you know what happens? What happens? It cannot sprout. It cannot germinate. Onto that. So here he says, Krishna consciousness is like just frying of all the seeds. And you see what he says? He says, Satya Sarve Samarambha Kama Sankalpa Garjitaha. Such a person, Samarambha means, is making many endeavors. But such endeavors are devoid of desire for sense gratification purposes. Kama Sankalpa Garjitaha. Jnanadhi Dabda Karmanam. As soon as he gets this Krishna conscious knowledge, so what happens? Jnanadhi Dabda Karmanam. Dabda means you are burnt to ashes. Samavit Panditam Buddha. This is the logic of all the great learned people. So, a person has performed a lot of sinful activities in the past, but they can be burnt to ashes. Now, Krishna says, we read in the scriptures in so many places, karma ani nirbhati, sinta jabakti bhaga, govind namadi pushum tavakam nidhan. Karma ani nirbhati, it is said, completely burnt. And he said, Bhagavad Gita is so Krishna says, yes, sir, tadai dhansi sanit bhagne, Bhagavatam. It says, Uttam Tanam Brahma Dukana Bhutta, Rakshan Dukana, Paradeva Tena, Vayasi Tanam, நரகாரத்தோட சாத்தமுதார கிரதம் பண்ணுறாங்க. இது சேர்ந்து சுகதேவ கோசாமியும் வந்து விவசாயி இந்த கவர்பாடு சமச்
Independent of the self-certification, there is no problem. But in self-certification, they can't do anything.
businessmen. Sometimes they are very friendly. But one time, when they are doing this example, when there is a big fight, they won't have killed another person. So in this way, the entire world is heading towards self-gratification. But here he says, kama sankalpa varjita. One should become free from the desire for self-gratification. One is understood in full knowledge. So the only endeavor is devoid of desire for self-gratification. Only such a person can burn. There is only one way by which you can become free from the desire for self-gratification. On Sunday I was talking about the Avadhut Brahmana quoting many gurus. And then one of the gurus' example is telling of the Kurara hawk. There is a hawk called Kurara. That is a particular class of bird called Kurara hawk. One time the Avadhut Brahmana was going in the forest. He found there were a group of Kurara hawks sitting together. And they were all very hungry searching for fish near a pond. And they could not get. But there was one Kurara hawk who had a fish in his mouth. He was about to eat it. And then the other half started with their beaks hurting him. Started fighting him. They were about to kill him. Seeing this, the other half gave away the fish. He threw it out of his mouth. And then, after giving it, nobody hurt him. Then he remained aloof and he became very satisfied by giving up the fish. So actually, our dominant philosophy is very high to understand what he tries to say. What he tries to say is, in this world, everyone is fond of self-gratification. So as long as you are heading towards self-gratification, you are going to be caught up in the whirlpool of competition. And in that competition, you will be killed, you will be damaged, you will have to face accidents, and you will have to face something very, very great hardship in life. Whereas the person who has learned the art of giving up the self-gratification, he is the most happy man in the world. So the Kurara hawk gave the fish and afterwards he became very satisfied and happy. In the same way, people are all in a rat race, rat gratification. That is why there are so much fights in the world going on. But somehow you see, if you become Krishna conscious and you give up self-gratification, the happiness that you get, nobody can take it away from you. And you can become happy with nothing. You don't need anything. All that you have is the bhakti within your heart. Nobody can take it away. Who can steal it? Impossible. It is going along with you. It is the nature of the soul. So in the same way, one should learn to give up self-gratification. Only then one can become happy. So giving up self-gratification is not possible unless one becomes Krishna conscious, as Prabhupada says. One has to realize the second question, a servant of Krishna. The more you serve Krishna, the more you become fixed up in the service, without your knowledge, the self-gratification will go away from you. So next shloka is actually a connection to this. Tattva karma phala sangam nitya vritta nirashrayah karman yaditta vrittoti naiva kinchit karoti saha. Abandoning all attachment to the result of his activities, never satisfied and independent, he performs no creative action, although he gives in all kinds of undertakings. How is it able to show me? That's it. The words are so simple to understand. Tattva means to give up. Karma pala sangam, attachment to the fruitive results. Nitya tripto, always satisfied. Nirashraya, he is completely independent. He doesn't agitate anything, shape of anything that is material. Karmanya avitta vritto api, the word api is used there. Although he is fully engaged in doing activities, karmani abhipravrittopi, api is there. Although he is engaged in activities, naiva kinchit karoti saha, he is not acting at all. He is completely free from the actions. So, Vishnu Sarasvati explained, the previous authority has explained, that this describes the sadhaka stage, where a person is endeavoring to become like this. Tattva karma karma palasana, he is trying to give up the fruits of his actions. Nitya-vritta-nirashraya, he is trying to be ever satisfied and become free from the shelter of anything that is material. And in this way, he is trying to act and he becomes free from the actions. The freedom from the bondage of actions is possible only in Krishna consciousness, and one is doing everything for Krishna. A Krishna conscious person acts as a pure love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he has no attraction for the results of the action. He is not even attached to his personal maintenance, for everything is left to Krishna. Nor is he anxious to secure things, nor to protect things already in his possession. He does his duty to the best of his ability and leaves everything to Krishna. Such an unattached person is always free from the result of reactions of good and bad. It is as though you are not doing anything. This is a sign of akarma, or actions without taking reactions. So here he is explaining how a devotee works only on behalf of Krishna, and he doesn't work on his own behalf. He is explaining about how even the reactions that come, they may be good or they may be bad. The actions that he performs may be even good or it may be bad. Still, if he is working for Krishna consciousness, he is not victimized by the results. So this has to be very carefully understood. We can give many examples within the shastras of devotees performing so-called bad activities. But still, because they worked on Krishna's behalf, they were not bound by the reaction. For example, Arjuna, you see Arjuna there fighting. He killed millions of soldiers, killing is such a heinous act, especially killing human beings. But he was not victimized by what? Killing such an action. Like now, India-Pakistan war is going on. From India side, so many people are ordered by the commanders that you fight and kill the Pakistani soldiers. But then if these people come out successful, they will be rewarded, is it not? On the contrary, the very same act performed by a civilian, by killing his neighbor, can take him to death sentence. Is it not? This very same action. In the same way, Arjuna here is working on Krishna's behalf. So he is not victimized. So please try to understand this example. The soldier in India fighting for Indian army is glorified by India for killing. And the person who kills out of his own personal, some personal envy or something, he is victimized. In the same way, if you work on your own, you will be victimized. But you work on Krishna's account, you will be glorified. Even if the activity is considered to be bad according to mundane moral principles, like Yudhishthira, he told a lie, is it not? He never used to tell a lie. Nobody could believe that Yudhishthira, even Yudhishthira could tell a lie. So when Nanakarya saw that Yudhishthira himself is talking like this, he got it. There is no possibility that he can't get through. But there was a lie. But Yudhishthira told the lie, so-called lie, because Krishna ordered him to say so. So without understanding Krishna's position, people can become bewildered. For how can Krishna ask him to tell a lie? Or how can Krishna ask Arjuna to kill so many people in the battlefield? One understands the glory of Krishna, the position of Krishna, and one will never mistake such activities like this. So if one thinks Krishna is an ordinary man, then he can never understand these activities. Such people ask, why did Krishna go and take away the five arrows from Duryodhana? Or why did Krishna take the Karna Kundala? Karna, Krishna cheated. Krishna was not righteous. Krishna was not straightforward. So people try to find out paths from Mahabharata, but actually one has to understand that Lord is the supreme proprietor. He is the source of all the benefits. In fact, he is enacting the drama of Mahabharata just for the sake of teaching all supreme souls like us. To show many things, one of the things is that even on the side of Dharma, there is a small band of devotees, the Pandavas. On the side of Adharma, they are so powerful. Still, Adharma can be vanquished if one just sticks to Dharma. The Lord wanted to show that. Father, he can play anything, he can do anything he wants. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a beautiful analogy given. Yadapi Rogasparana, Samyak Dharma Viha. Ichaya Piritasyatam, Patilgeshit Chayanganam. It says, this sutra is very meaningful. This also talks about karma. It says, just like a chess player, soon while playing, he can move anything, anywhere. Like a man playing with cards, he has got the complete freedom to move anything, anywhere. It is right to do like that. Similarly, Narada says, we all are like puppets in the hands of the Lord. He can move us anywhere he wants. He can do anything with us. Now Prabhupada writes in the purport, somebody may argue, how is it? God has to give the result according to my karma. If I perform good karma, God has to give me good results. How can I give you bad results? So this argument is called karma mimamsa. Karma na jayate jata karma na jayate jata karma. They say, if I do good karma, God has to give good results. If I do bad karma, God has to give bad results. So why should I depend on God? Because God is obliged to give me good or bad results according to my activity. Let me concentrate more on how I am going to act. And let me discard that. Why can some people argue? But that is here said to be a foolish argument. Why? Because even if one performs good actions, if God wants, God can give him bad results. He has the right to do that. He can do anything he wants. He has the complete freedom to do that. That is why he is called as a player. The player can play with the guy in the way he wants. He has complete freedom like that. How do you understand this point? Although God doesn't worry about those people who are performing mundane pious and mundane impious activities, God doesn't, Krishna doesn't worry about such people. He says, okay, let me put you in the cycle of birth and death and the three modes will take care of you. So you do good karma, you get good result, you do bad karma, you get bad result. So they let it go on taking your life after life. He doesn't bother about that. And he takes the devotees and he puts them in another circle called as the internal energy. And he pays attention to them. And as far as devotees are concerned, for a devotee, even if he has performed millions of punya, material punya, and he deserves to go to heavenly planets, the Lord may not allow him to go. He may just make him stay in the world. And on the contrary, may even give him some punishment, if that is what is best for him to advance. Understand this point? On the other hand, if a devotee has performed a very, very simple act in the past, and deserves to be killed in an accident, still, you see the two buses are colliding with one another and the devotee is caught in between. And only his left car got in between. And he got a leg fracture. And then he'll be in the hospital for 6 months and he'll be out. He won't die. Although people might have thought, only he got squeezed between two buses. And nothing happened to him. So if Krishna wants to save a devotee, then he may give a small token punishment and they save him. Although the karma may say that he has to be killed. You get the point? So Krishna has the complete freedom to alter your karma. Either to give more effect or less effect, depending on what is the criteria? What is best for your advancement in Krishna consciousness? Accordingly, you will do that. So, in this way, Lord has complete freedom. He is like the all-powerful Son. But our so-called mundane dharma that we are arguing or is like a candle, which has no standing in front of the Sun. Of course, the candle can lit up a dark room. If you bring a candle inside a dark room, then the candle can lit up a dark room. Similarly, the dharma that is given in the scriptures may be good enough for a common man to follow. He can hear the scriptures and follow, like Manusmriti, all that he can follow, the law codes. But what is the position of this candle in front of the Sun? Have you ever served the Sun with a candle? It is foolishness. Similarly, Krishna's will is the ultimate. Nothing can stand in front of it. If Krishna wills that Duryodhana's party has to be defeated, nobody can come in the way. As devotees, we should know that there is absolute will and we have to cooperate with it. That I understand. So the Pandavas understood it. So Krishna may apparently perform something bad. In fact, there is no bad in that. Like the fighting of Arjuna against the Kauravas, is it against Dharma? After 12 years, the Kauravas are supposed to return the kingdom to Pandavas. But they were not righteous. They were trying to again take them away. Either I want you, you want to land in the pick of the needle. So Kauravas are not righteous. And if they cannot be, if they won't be righteous, then why should not Krishna adopt methods to completely defeat them? They were thinking, because we are majority, so we will have the monopoly, we will take over everything, and we will finish the Pandavas. In fact, even when the Pandavas are in the forest, the Kauravas try to kill the Pandavas. And now they are finally the minority. And anyway, they may be righteous. In fact, even Dhritarashtra was upright. Pandavas are righteous. Sometimes you have heard from the Vedas that Dharma always wins. So although they are minority, probably they may win. Some fear was there in the crush of mind. Still the Kauravas are determined. No, you have to finish them. You may be in the sight of Dharma. Let us finish the kingdom because you are more powerful than them. This is the mentality of a demon. And then Krishna showed how Dharma ultimately will win. So for that, Krishna adopted many methods which will be apparently appear to be bad. So, because Arjuna, Yudhishthira and all of them did these activities on behalf of Krishna, they were not victimized. Like Hanuman, he burned the entire Sri Lanka. Is there anyone here today who will curse Hanuman for doing that? அதெல்லாம் கருத்து சொல்லுவன் அமைதி பார்த்து பியூட்டிஃபுல் கோல்டன் சிட்டி அப்படி எனக்கு எவ்வளவு ஜோடிபே சொல்லுவேன் பிக் பிக் அனிமல் டைட் இஸ் எவ்ரிவேர் ஆகவே எவ்ரிவேர் இஸ் கிளியரிஃபைட் வை இஸ் இட் கிளியரிஃபைட் எனிபடி ஹூ புட்ஸ் ஆன் ஃபயர் யுவர் ஹவுஸ் இஸ் கன்சிடர்ட் சோ இன்ஜூரியஸ் இன்ஃபேக்ட் இட்ஸ் ஒன் ஆஃப் த சிக்ஸ் கைண்ட் ஆஃப் சின்ஸ் ஸ்டாப் டைம் அக்ரெசர் வை ஹனுமன் கிளியரிஃபை எவ்வளவு வை பாதி கிளியரிஃபை You are talking on ground to heart. You are understood this? Yes. So we have to learn to work only in Krishna's account and not on our account. You will see that whether you do good or you bad. If you work on a company's account, the glory goes to company. You have seen that? If you work for a particular company, some companies are very famous for delivery promise, and they're doing the job perfectly. Nowadays, if you ask zero, which company you got? There is a garden zero. If you want to buy some paper card or you say Philips, how did this company become famous? Because of the representatives. They have the best people. And these people did a very good job and the name goes to the company ultimately. Similarly, if you learn to work only on Krishna's account, everything will go to Krishna. Whether the reactions are good, reactions are bad, Krishna will absorb it. It is his problem. It is not our problem. Krishna told you this, you tell a lie, and you told the lie. So the sinful reaction of that lie will be absorbed by Krishna. He will take care. So he follows Krishna's order. So, let's see that if you are working in a company, you may be giving out millions of rupees on behalf of company. Or you may be accepting millions of rupees on behalf of company. And whatever you are doing, it's all ultimately going to company. It is not yours. It is not. On the other hand, and somebody comes to company, you tell them, I will give you a cheating bill. You buy an item for 500 rupees, and I will give you 800 rupees bill, so you can show it to your man, and then this 300, you can share between 2 hours. You take 150, I will take 150. You have seen people do that? Well, I heard about it. You understood what I am saying? Sometimes people buy a company for 500, and the man working under the owner, he gives a bill for 800. And then the two parties, they help each other. You take 150, I take 150. But then if he is caught by the Malik, what will happen? He will be finished, kicked out of the job. So when you work on your own account in your company, what happens to you? You get victimized. But if you work on company's account, you can give billions of rupees out, and you can take more billions of rupees from another person. For the company, will they punish you? You are never victimized. Please understand this example nicely. If you understand it, then you will learn to work on Krishna's account always. Similarly, in this world, we should not perform any activity on our own account. We should perform all activities on Krishna's account. Because everything will go to Krishna. He was a good. For example, Arjuna is glorified as Dhananjaya. He is glorified as Gandhi also. He is holding a Gandhi rope. In fact, when he would put an arrow in the Gandhi rope and produce a sound, that sound would be heard in all the 8 directions. And people knew what was the power of Arjuna. But later, after Krishna passed away, Krishna went back to the kingdom of God. Arjuna was left alone. At one time Krishna wanted to show Arjuna that you have no power without me. My dear Arjuna, although you are glorified by all the people of the world, all the power was there with you only because you are offering your activities and the service to me. So now to show that Krishna played a partner. So Arjuna was taking the scenes of Dwaraka. Then he was taking them to another place. In the meantime, they came across some infidel covered men who were trying to attack. And Arjuna was trying to fight with them. And he could not fight. Arjuna was wondering, what happened to the power of my shoulder? What happened to the power of my Gandiva? I am the very same Arjuna. I have the very same Gandiva. I have the very same arrow. I have the same rat. And I have the same horses. But why am I not able to fight these people up? And he said, my dear Krishna, it is because I have left your company now. And I am alone. Now I am not having the empowerment that you gave me long ago. He said that 3 examples he said for this. He said, just like putting a fire in a basma, chariot, amount of yajna, if you put some ghee in a ash, it is no use. He said, similar to that. Or he said, that's like using a magic wand. you know, maybe some gold coins, but it is useful, he will disappear after some time. If he appears for some time, it is used, but after some time, all of a sudden it will disappear. That is the way the magic things work. Third example he gave, anybody know?
Putting seeds in
a barren land. If you put seeds in a barren land, that is the use of putting seeds. In the same way, my dear Krishna, all my attempts are deceit of his altitude, he said. So devotees always recognize that the power that I am exhibiting now is all coming from Krishna. Even our ability to speak, now I am speaking from philosophy. So whenever you find any meaning to what I am speaking, and you are using it in your life, that you will understand that the speaking of the is coming from Paramatma. And the Lord is empowering every soul. So the Lord doesn't empower, one word comes, cannot come from our mouth. That is our power. We don't have any ability at all. The same way Kunti Maharani said, my dear Krishna, because you are lotus feet, yes, touching the ground, the entire place is becoming so prosperous. Everywhere there are plants and ducks swimming in the waters, there are lotus and lilies, there are trees and fruits with fruits and flowers, and people are all very happy everywhere. So because you are lotus feet is present in my land, she said. Similarly, she said, when a spiritual leaves the body, along with that, the name and fame of a person ends. All that has occurred, everything ends. In the same way, she said, my dear Krishna, now you are going away from us. Because you are going away, all our Pandus and the Yadus glory, it will all come to an end. Unless you constantly keep your glance upon us, she said. So we desperately need Krishna's glance on us. So, devotees are always conscious that whatever good things are coming out of me, it's not because of Krishna only, all the abilities that I have. So ultimately, as the glory goes to company, like the Philips or Gandhiji was telling you, in the same way, whatever good you do, ultimately the glory will go to Krishna. Similarly, anything that one does on Krishna's orders, even if it is considered wrong according to mundane morality, still it will go to Krishna. Krishna will take that reaction. So, here I would like to make a very important point. We should never think that we can perform wrong actions because we are Krishna's devotees. And Krishna will take away a sinful reaction. That is an improper understanding. Arjuna killed millions of soldiers. He just saved on the line. He told such examples to you. But these people never acted whimsically. They were all acting on Krishna's honor. That is very important. So if you are acting whimsically, that means you have to bear the fruit. You have to bear the reaction. So, how do we know what is Krishna's desire? Very nice question was asked by Shakti Prabhu last time. So, we can know Krishna's desire by hearing from the spiritual master, who is in very close communion with Krishna. Then we can act accordingly. So, spiritual master will never tell you to perform wrong acts. But, there may be some act which may be apparently considered to be wrong in the worldly sense. But still, if you do it on the order of Guru and Krishna, then you will not be victimized. I cannot think of any examples which is coming under instruction to us, which may be considered to be wrong according to mundane morality. I don't know. Anybody can give an example for that? Which may be apparently considered a wrong act for the world. Ajay Mani is giving an example, leaving home and joining the temple. But Guru tells that you live at home only. He doesn't allow us to join. So we join from our own desire. He always says you become a good grihastha. You never allow me to become brahmachari. But then we take shelter of Narada Mani. Narada Mani says, even if you give up everything and you join, even if you are sadharma, even if you fall down, there is no problem. Because whatever best services you did during that life, that will be carried with you. Any other example? Oh, that is actually a place where Bali rejected Shukracharya. I am asking for an example where, like all of us are acting on Guru's order, right? Like we are putting tilak, we are putting kantimala, you know, we are chanting 16 rounds every day, following the 4 related principles. And you are acting on Guru's order. So you are acting on Krishna's account now in all these places. So Guru orders you to do something which may apparently, or Krishna orders you to do something which may apparently go against the mundane morality. Then still, you will not be victimized for that. Other society may consider it wrong. In Arjuna's case, I said, like Arjuna when fighting, consciousness develops. There is one story, I don't know whether we have time. What's the time now?
5:45.
Hmm? 8? 55. 8:55, is it? But I'll not elaborate, I'll tell you very briefly. You know, in the time of that time there were very, very wealthy, rich people all over. People had millions and millions of rupees with them. But they would not give a single penny to the devotees for service to God. So, everybody knows the name of Vrtacharya? He's a Sri Vaishnava actually. He's not Ramanujacharya. He put the Sriranam temple. He was the one who was instrumental in making the Sriranam temple. Sriman, right? Sure? Sriman Galva. So in his time, he wanted to raise the temple for the Lord Ranganath. So there was nobody supporting. Everyone in the city was against them, against the devotees. So he thought, now it's high time, we have to fulfill the desire of the previous ascetic. We have to build the temple. So he took help of some of the robbers and thieves. I think there were three people, disciples of his, who were having the special abilities. One of them had ability to walk on water. Another person had the ability to open any lock. And that person had the ability to show the people in the legion, isn't it? Capture a person by his shadow. So this one? Huh? One person had the ability to mesmerize people by talking. So he had these four people who were his disciples. Now you can imagine what all these people can do. So these people would go to the houses of very sensible people who would make in charter houses, who would earn a lot of money by illegal means and accumulate a lot of money in their houses. So they would go to their houses and the one person who had the ability to open the locks, they open the locks. And the other person would take the money. And nobody can stop them because the one person had the ability to catch the shadow. So whoever would chase behind them, he would catch the shadow. And this is what they were doing. And many of those robbers also joined. So this is why they got lots of money. And a beautiful big temple was built up. Now you know the temple has 7 walls now. It is a beautiful big temple. Sriranam temple. Later on, the Gopura was recently made, if you see, a few years ago by the government. It's the biggest Gopura in Asia. So this is a very, very ancient famous temple. And later on, Srimanga observed that the robbers were wanting the shack, as was told to them before, according to agreement. So he told his disciples who were pure-hearted, these four people, they had not even a little bit of intention to enjoy that money for themselves. That's a very important point. And then he got so much money. Because actually illegally earned money, obtained by illegal means, it is evil. So they got this money and built the temple, used it all. But the robbers wanted it for their own enjoyment. So Kalimanga proposed an idea to dispel the ideas of his disciples. And they told them, so our disciples told them that we will. We have kept all the money in and part of the island, so extra money that we had. So we will take you in a boat, we will go there and we will share the money. All of us will share equally. So they all sat in a boat. And when the boat was going, what happened in the boat? One person, he got the hole in the boat. Lot of water started coming in the boat. And then the devotee had the ability to walk on water. He came, he started walking on water and he carried all the other devotees back to the shore. So you see, all the thieves were submerged in the water and they all died. Now, you see the thieves, they all died miserably, although they wanted to enjoy the money, they were not given the money. But for the good act they performed in building the temple, they must have got a lot of virtues, they were because of that. And these three disciples, these four disciples who acted on Guru's behalf, they will certainly not be victimized. Because they acted with a pure motive of building the temple, and they did not use a single penny for their own enjoyment. And it has been very carefully understood that nobody at any point of time can ever do this, even for the temple purposes. Just because we have a temple delivery, we cannot think, let us go and steal and not be to sell it. We cannot do that. Because the money that is kept with others is actually put under their custody. This was a very special case where there were hundreds of thousands of wealthy men who had run illegal money and they were not able to spend the single coin. And it was Lord's wish. God himself desired that a temple has to be raised. And the Lord ordered Srimangai that you do like this. Like here we see Arjuna was ordered by Krishna. This is the way he has to do. the Lord ordered Brahmana to do this, and everybody should go to the temple. And Brahmana ordered him to go. So this is a very, very special case. So none of us can imitate it. Or we cannot imitate Arjuna, we cannot imitate Yudhishthira, we cannot imitate anybody like that, we cannot imitate Hanuman. Sometimes devotees get angry, and if you ask them, why you got angry, they say, Chaitanya got angry. I'm getting angry like Hanuman. So that is not acceptable. At our stage, we cannot become transcendently angry. We don't even know what is transcendence. We are still bound to the three modes, and our anger comes from passion, and it ends up in ignorance. So we should not imagine that we are transcendental. Nor should we act like this. If Lord orders you to do something, but Lord ordered Vibhishan, Lord ordered Bhishma Pitama, that you stay on the side of Kauravas, and you fight against me, then the world is going to misunderstand you. And Bhishma Pitama did that. Unless you have joined easily the side of the Lord. So one has to wait after fulfilling the Lord's order. So the essence of this Vata is that one should act on Krishna's behalf. Because that is akarma. So in your morning to night in your day, try to find out the activities. Whether you are working on Krishna's behalf or working on your own behalf. For fulfilling your own business person qualification. Very important to see every one of our activities. So the primarily, we have to follow the Guru's order, chanting 16 rounds, following 4 regulated principles, and reading Sri Prabhupada books, and dealing with devotees properly. So these are all the common rules given for us. But then there are times in your devotional life where there is a facility for self-gratification. And at those times, if you act only on Krishna's behalf and not on your behalf, then you will get advancement. Every one of us is going to be put in such situations. We cannot escape. We will be put in such situations. The proper expense to Purisham Lake. In one place, like you know, today you are very fond of Bhaji. And you may say, oh my dear Krishna, I am feeling so much eagerness to offer you Bhaji today. You want to offer, you prepare Bhaji. So that depends on eating Bhaji. You are offering it and you are just waiting. When will the Bhaji come, my tongue is secreting saliva. Then that mentality is actually a mischievous mentality. In the same way, that is actually coming, arising from lusty intelligence. So because of lusty intelligence, we may behave like that in so many ways, in so many places. All of us are, you know, going to so many places, going, speaking with so many people. So in so many different situations, we may be put in such decision-making situations. Where you may do things for your own self-verification. You can give vivid examples. You all can see from your own life. See how you try to gratify your senses. You will see that. So in those situations, if you carefully avoid and act on Krishna's behalf, then Krishna will be very pleased. Then that is the way you make advancement in spiritual life. Otherwise, ordinary dealing is very easy. To be very straightforward and not duplicitous is not at all easy. Very, very difficult. Generally, we try to show off to others to be someone whom we are not actually. We always want to show off. The showing off itself is duplicitous. So there are immediately the self-verification creation. So we have to act on Krishna's behalf. Krishna's behalf means simply the desire of pleasing the spiritual master. There is no other desire. Every one of us, whether we are housewife, or whether we are husband, whether we are brahmacharis, whomever we are, whether we are sannyasis, we may see that we have this propensity in us to act on our own behalf. It happens when you are struggling in spiritual life. You become famous, you have your own circle of followers, then you become proud that I brought this devotee to Krishna consciousness. Did you ever think like that? It was me who was instrumental in bringing this devotee to Krishna. If only I was not there, this fellow would be wandering in the world like a karmi. So that means you are working on your own account, not on Krishna's account. Similarly, every one of us. So you all search for examples from your own life. Where you try to act on your own behalf. That means you are impeding your own progress. You are not allowing to progress yourself. You can make such a progress you can make in spiritual life. If only you can act on Krishna's behalf, always. So that's why the attachment comes into picture. As long as you are not attached to anything in the world, and you are simply working on Krishna's behalf, then you will make tremendous progress. Great. Any questions?
Worship the demigods, we get some results of that.
Yeah.
So those
students are due to the performance of the worship or our previous karma.
The results? Oh, that is a very important thing to understand. Actually, the results you get, even though the worship of the demigods is coming as a result of the previous life activities only. But you will think that it is because of my worship to the demigods. Everything is coming from the past life only. So, for example, we think, by working hard, I achieved this much result in my life. But it is an illusion to think like that. Whether you worked hard or you didn't work hard, the results will come anyway. According to the previous pious or bad results that are awaiting. But we are blinded to see that it's very difficult concept to understand. Some of those are explaining to Vishnu sir that because the previous life results are coming in this life, nobody gets to see. They think because of my hard work I got this. For example, some of you here may be very intelligent. So, to do things in an expert way. And you may think that I got this intelligence because of my education. But it is not true. The intelligence was awarded to you because of their previous life. So somebody has a, you know, ability to play mridanga, play karta, somebody can play harmonium, somebody can cook nicely, somebody can make nice garlands. So these are all abilities coming from previous life. With any amount of training or endeavor, we will achieve them. But we think we achieve because of our endeavor. That's an illusion.
The worship
of the demigods is redundant. Yeah, that's right.
Actually,
that's the demigods
of the
world to change their system. Yes, they are obliged to give. For example, you worship them to give you something, they have to give. They are obliged to give. Yeah. Then you won't worship demigods. That's why it's difficult to understand. See, the benefits that are awarded to us, they are called as destiny. For example, somebody is born in Islam, somebody is born in a rich family. So this is coming according to destiny. But within the destined situation, you also have the freedom to use, exercise the freedom. Just like a person who is flying in a plane, like you got a plane ticket. But this you are destined to go to Delhi in this plane, is it not? Once you sit in a plane, and the plane starts, then you say, now I don't want to go to Delhi. You cannot say, you have to go to Delhi. But in the course of going to Delhi, the activities that you do, will matter what will happen to you after that. That is like, you know, you can pick up a good relation with your neighbor, with a businessman, and then you can, after you get down, both of you can become intimate friends and you can become partners in a business. Is it not? On the contrary, you can pick up quarrel with someone and then as soon as you get down, they put you in a jail. So what will happen to you after you get down at Delhi will depend on how you act while going in the plane. In the same way, now all of us are destined to be born in a particular family with particular facilities that are awarded to us. But within that facility, we are awarded the free will for which we do good acts, bad acts, for which further results may come in this life or in the next life. That's why it may so happen that somebody performing the good actions may get results in the regard in this life, and that may not be because of previous life. That's also correct.
Because
Krishna says, when first time he wants to achieve something, he invites the heart.
Yeah, correct.
So, that
they are just a medium to get our karma back.
Yes. So, it can be because of the previous karma, or it can also be because of utilizing your free will in this life in a particular way, because of the previous result. I just told you so many examples today. You may get instant karma, or you may get karma after a year or so, or you may get after one lifetime or many lifetimes. So sometimes you do some good act in this life and you get results in this life only. It can happen. It can happen later. Yeah, it can be according to the previous destiny they may be giving, or they can also give Krishna orders them to give. They may give. After all, they are Krishna only. Yes. Material punya. No. So that they are obliged. Krishna is not obliged. So that they are obliged. Next week is reading on Udrichala Vasantishka. You will understand. Krishna is not obliged by our worship. We can worship Krishna for millions of lives and still Krishna has no obligation to take you back. Unless you feel so. But the demigods are obliged. If you do something, they have to give you results. Like Shiva. Generally, it is according to our destiny only. But as I told you, within the scope of your destiny, if one uses his table in the right way to perform pious creed, then also the demigods may avoid if Krishna wants them to get the reward.
మరి ఈ కర్మ నిర్ణయాన్ని రెండు ప్రీవియస్ లోపల ఇచ్చండి సంతోషం.
He's asking a good question. He thinks out of sight, out of mind. You know? To go out of sight of someone, gradually you become detached from them. You know? They go out of your mind. I mean, you prostitute. She was standing and waiting for so many people, you know, trying to enjoy, but then nobody came. Ultimately, because of frustration, she became detached. Because of not getting the enjoyment, she became detached. And then ultimately, she surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can help and maybe it may be one of the ways to become detached. But it's not the only way. It could be one of the ways to become detached, that you keep the object of your attraction far away from you, sense object far away from you, so that, like for example, we say we should, you know, keep a distance from the sense objects. We should not try to enjoy them. So just by not enjoying them, the taste of enjoying them doesn't go away. It has to go away only by pure devotion, only by serious devotion service. Like somebody, like if you see the jnanis, sometimes the jnanis are compared to a crane. You know a crane? Sometimes a crane was standing in a river, completely silent, looking down, bowing down like this. And then so many fishes, they had a conference, they all came together. Talking, what is this? This crane has become a statue now. Probably he has died. One of them said he has died. Another said, no, probably he is unconscious. Somebody said, no, he has turned into a statue. So they all wanted to know what is happening. They went near the crane. Immediately the crane pounced down one of them and he caught one of the fish. Started eating. So in the same way, sometimes in person life, the closer ears, closer, Pratyahara day, completely shut up all the senses and meditate for Vishwamitramani. But when the desire for enjoyment has not gone, after so many years of 60,000 years of performing penance, exactly like this crane, what did Vishwamitra do? After that he heard the ankle bell of Yanaka, immediately after I became attracted to her and wanted to enjoy her. What's the point? Just by keeping an object away from us, we cannot escape. And one day Vishwam says, Tani Sarvani Samyama, withdraw yourself from all the sense objects. But then he also says, Yukta Adhita Matpura. You have to engage your senses in Krishna. Unless you develop a higher place, you cannot escape from the worldly things. It is there in letter of devotion, Bhakti Ramakrishna. Bija, Kota, and Sadan Mukha. Actually, there is one more stage, I don't know the name.
Bija, Kota, and
Sadan Mukha. In between, there is one more, you know? There are four stages in that. So, it is in the sweet form, and then it is almost certified, and already certified. Prarabdha, yeah, Prarabdha. Prarabdha, right. 9.2 purport as you can see. Bhagavad Gita 9.2 purport as you see again. Four major six opulences of Krishna.